Get your favorite snacks and your slippers, guys. Let's go get in the car.
That was not... Let's not do that.
Come on, that was great.
No.
Let's help people road trip.
This is the Exploring the National Parks podcast with Dirt in My Shoes. My name is Ash, and I'm a former park ranger and the founder of Dirt in My Shoes. I think that the parks are best seen from the trail, and I'm here to make national park trip planning easy.
And I'm John. I carry the kids on the trails, I tell stories, and notice all the things that Ash doesn't care about much, like trees.
Join us as we show you around America's spectacular national parks.
We're sharing our favorite places, fun facts, adventures, and misadventures.
And we'll even throw in a little trip planning.
Let's start exploring! I just wanted to start off today by sharing a quick story that made Ash laugh quite a bit yesterday. Our boys, we just got them started in Cub Scouts. And I grew up in Scouts, so as Boy Cub Scout, Boy Scout, I did everything. And last night was our first blue and gold banquet. And so if you've never been to a blue and gold banquet before, generally speaking, it's kind of like it's a fundraiser for the troop, basically. And at least in the ones where I grew up in, the blue and gold banquet was a cake auction.
Yeah, ours too.
I came to the blue and gold banquet last night expecting a cake auction. On the drive there, I was explaining to the kids, all right, we're going to probably have a paddle or something like that. I gave them a budget on how much we could spend for the cake that we were going to get. And a lot of times you just buy your own cake.
Well, and before John left, I gave him instructions not to buy anyone's cake that was homemade. Because I just get super weird about that. Like, I don't eat food at potlucks and stuff unless, like, I know where the cake was baked.
Right, exactly.
So we're all gearing up for this cake auction.
So I was really excited. The boys are all prepped. I'm all ready to go. I've got the cake in my hands as we walk into church where we were having the big banquet. And I open the door and the lady right there welcoming me in, she's got all the table full of all the auction items. Nothing on the tables was a cake. And so I just walk in and I am the only one with a cake. I walk up to the lady and I'm like, I brought my auction cake. And she just looks at me. She looks at me like I used to look at like my sons when they were 2 years old and they bring me something. And they're so proud of it. But I'm just like, thank you.
What am I supposed to do with this?
I'm so glad you gave me this. And so I gave her the cake and it was quite embarrassing, actually. I always say I'm immune to embarrassment, but I was like, I totally misread the room on what this was going to be. The only man that showed up with a cake to sell. It was pretty funny.
So funny.
I bought my own cake back, dang it.
Nobody else wanted it.
I paid a little bit more than I should have just to validate myself.
Oh my gosh, yes, that did make me laugh pretty hard. How embarrassing. Well, today we're going on a road trip.
Yes.
Another road trip episode. I love these ones.
Road trips are the best.
Yeah. And today we're doing the Utah National Parks road trip.
The Mighty Five.
We're really good at this road trip. We've done this road trip in various regurgitations.
Could have said orders or
like, I don't know. These
we've done it in several different directions. Up and out is better than in, Shrek always says, right?
I'm just saying it looks different, a little bit different every time we go, but we love visiting the Utah parks. So today we want to walk you through an epic 10-day road trip for the Utah National Parks.
Oh, it's so cool.
Now, why 10 days? I think 10 days is a really good amount of time. I think 7 days is too short to hit 5 national parks. Can you do it? Yes.
But you spend so much time in the car and you miss so much.
Well, I mean, and there's some parks that just really need longer than a day. So you can do it, but it would just be like a taste of everything. You wouldn't really be able to dig in.
A sampler.
Yeah.
When really,
sure.
Whenever I order a sampler, like if it's at Olive Garden or something like that, there's always one thing that I'm like, I can't believe I only got 1.5 bites of that. I really wanted, there's always the lasagna. I wanted the whole piece.
Yeah, which now you do order the whole piece.
Which is the 10 days
right.
instead of the 5 or 7.
But really, 14 days is best.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do 14 days, then you can really give yourself the full amount of time that each of these national parks deserves.
Mm-hmm.
But I know 14 days for a lot of people is just too much. Can't take that much time off work, can't leave for that long. Totally get it. So I think 10 days... it's kind of the sweet spot there where it's like, it's longer than 7, but it's shorter than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still get to everything and really have a great experience.
Plus, it gives you a little bit of time to enjoy some of the in-between spots.
That's probably the number one question I get actually about the national park itineraries mm-hmm. that we sell on Dirt in My Shoes. I have a lot of people who are going to all 5 national parks and buy the parks individually, the itineraries. Because I want you to be able to customize how many days you're spending in each one and stuff like that. But I do get a lot of questions of people like, what do I do in between? Or like, how do I tie all these together?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what today's episode is for as well, to help you tie it all together and see a really cool sample trip that you can take with your family.
Ugh. Well, I will also say that unbeknownst to Ash, we are going to be playing a game during this episode. Which is fun. It's not like one of the ones we've done in the past. This one's a little different because I don't think people realize how many movies are actually filmed in Southern Utah or just in Utah in general.
Mm-hmm.
So many movies.
So many movies.
There's so many good movies. So as we kind of travel around, I will make periodic stops just to say a few movie lines or like, if there's a song from the movie that's really popular, I'll maybe say a few lines and see if Ash can guess what it is. And this will also give you at home a chance to guess as well to see if you can guess and figure it out before Ash does or before I just say what it is.
Which I feel like shouldn't be hard. My knowledge of movies is not great, especially because I know a lot of movies that have been filmed in these areas are Westerns.
I did make a specific effort to not just choose Westerns.
Okay.
So,
that's not good for me.
Depending on the direction that we start this road trip from, Ash is going to be really excited.
Okay. Well, let's get started because I have your road trip all planned out. Day one, you're going to fly into Vegas. I really think Vegas is the perfect place to start this. You can fly into Salt Lake City as well. A lot of people do that. The problem with Salt Lake City is it's just a dang boring drive to get from Salt Lake City down to the Utah parks. Sorry, no offense to the middle of Utah, but like there's not really anywhere to stop. There's not much to see as you're driving along I-15. So we don't recommend Salt Lake City, although it will work. But if you start in Vegas, not only do you have Vegas right there, which if that's your thing, you can take a few hours to go gamble on the strip or get some food or whatever you want to do in Vegas. And then we're going to drive towards Zion National Park.
Perfect. Let's stop right there. If you would have come from Salt Lake City, we're going to skip a few of the references because we're coming from Vegas, but I feel like Ash needed this one. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Yeah. Come on, Ash.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Kylie at the piano.
Who's Kylie?
You are the magic in me.
Pitch Perfect?
No way. I can't believe you're missing this. This is great.
What is it?
Okay. But your faith, it gives me strength. Strength to believe we're breaking free.
Oh. Oh, well, who's Kylie?
I don't know. Who's the girl that plays the piano?
That's the girl that plays the piano? Oh, High School Musical. But that's Salt Lake City. Okay, I was confused. I was thinking Vegas. You're confusing me.
If we're coming from Salt Lake City, you actually drive basically
you can drive to East High. You can go see East High where Troy Bolton played basketball.
Yes. So there's 3 movies from Salt Lake City to Zion. High School Musical, East High, Footloose
in Payson.
Lehigh Roller Mills. That's where they had prom at the end of the movie.
But also they filmed at Payson High School, which has been in the news lately because they're tearing it down and they're trying to get Kevin Bacon to come back one last prom. before they tear down the original high school.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's coming. Maybe not for prom, but he is coming this summer.
Kevin Bacon is so cool.
I know.
I love Kevin Bacon. All right. And this is one that you wouldn't have gotten anyways, but just a couple of lines for the big fans out there like me. He had kissed a woman, and he had kissed her long and good. First you take the graham, you stick the chocolate on the graham, then you roast the malo, and when the malo's flaming, you stick it on the chocolate and cover it with the other end. Then you scarf. Sandlot.
Oh, nice. Where was that one?
That's in Midvale.
Okay.
That's where Midvale Main Street is, where they bought all of their baseballs, like whenever they hit one over the fence before they actually went and challenged the beast.
All right. So if you want to see those movie destinations, then you should fly into Salt Lake.
Yes.
If you don't care about those movie destinations, then you should fly into Vegas and stop at Valley of Fire on your way to Zion.
Yes.
So the drive from Vegas to Zion is about 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too bad. But you will pass by Valley of Fire State Park in Nevada. It's like an hour outside of Vegas. And it's just a really cool spot.
It's so cool.
It's gotten super popular over the past few years, too, I feel like. But you can go, you can hike the Fire Wave, which looks kind of like if you've seen the wave mm-hmm. in southern Utah with the stripes in the rocks. You can do that. They have petroglyphs you can see, lots of bighorn sheep. Lots of good hiking.
It's so cool. And the campground is so fun because the campground is literally nestled in this like cove of red rock that you and your kids can kind of climb up and over and on and have a real fun adventure in.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
We spend a lot of time there when we're down in the Vegas area. So that's a really cool stop on your way. If you have time as you're making your way to Springdale and Zion National Park.
Yes. And Valley of Fire is also the location of a very important captain's burial site, Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk died and buried in Valley of Fire. Do you know what movie that is?
From Star Trek? Like they filmed it in Valley of Fire?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I was really confused.
Yeah. Like, when they're fighting, I think his name is Soren, and then Captain Picard and Captain Kirk team up together in one of the greatest duos of all time that is all filmed in Valley of Fire. It's Star Trek Generations.
Nice. Okay, so day one, fly to Vegas, stop at Valley of Fire for a couple hours if you have time, and then drive to Springdale and get to the south entrance of Zion National Park. Which brings us to day two and day three, which will be spent in Zion National Park.
The best 2 days almost on the whole road trip.
This national park needs more than 1 day. You can't see it in 1 day. You can see some things in 1 day. But you really need like 2 days minimum to really get around. Partially because you have to take a shuttle to get mm-hmm. to a lot of the things in Zion. So that just takes time.
Right.
Partially also because the crowds are so terribly bad in this park.
Right.
It's a small park. The National Park Service just came out with their visitation numbers for 2023.
Oh, no.
I think it was like it's over 4 million people.
Jeez.
In Zion National Park. It's one of the top 5 national parks for visitation. And it's a very small national park for that many people. So, that makes a big difference too. If you're trying to do just 1 day in Zion, you will get stuck in crowds and you will feel like you didn't see very much because of just the way the park is.
Plus, another reason why you need more than 2 days is because you want to use at least part of one of those days beating the heck out of your knees on one of two of the best trails in Utah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you need to have 2 days so you can do both of the big hitter trails in Zion. You've got to do them both. At least start them. You don't have to do the whole thing if you don't want to, but you've got to have time for Angel's Landing and you've got to have time for the Narrows.
Yes. Totally agree on that.
And you don't want to put them on the same day. That's a lot of hiking.
Yeah. Plus, one of the best things about a road trip is you know you're going to have rest time in the car. Just put on cruise control and let your legs heal while you travel.
So days two and day three are both Zion days. If you need any help planning out your time in Zion, we do have a Zion itinerary on Dirt in My Shoes. I have tons of free resources on Dirt in My Shoes too, just like massive lists of things to do, best time to visit, where to stay, all of that is there. But for sure, try to do the Narrows, try to do Angel's Landing, Emerald Pools, Canyon Overlook. There's some really cool stuff you can do.
Oh man, so much good stuff.
And then actually for day four, if you want, you can spend another half day in Zion. So right. You can spend that morning time in Zion, maybe driving. This day makes the most sense to drive the east side of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So drive through the Zion Mount Carmel Tunnel, go do the Canyon Overlook, go drive out to Checkerboard Mesa. All of that is on your way to Bryce Canyon anyway.
Yes.
And we are heading to Bryce Canyon in the afternoon of day four.
Yes. But just so everybody knows, there was a movie filmed in Zion.
Was there?
There was. And it's epic. And one of the quotes I feel like is how I would like to describe myself. I'm not crazy. I'm just colorful. Here's the other quote. Nobody knows anything.
I have no idea.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
When was that movie?
There's a it's long a really time old ago. One. It's Robert Redford a long time ago.
Okay.
There's a whole scene where they discuss going to Bolivia, where they like ride through and out Zion Canyon. The scene has so many of the main things that you'll see. So as you take the shuttle up, you'll see the Court of the Patriarchs. You see the river bending and winding through the canyon, and you'll see the Great White Throne. And there's some really cool stuff that you'll recognize. You can watch the movie before or watch it after. But either way, it's just a really cool scene. It's awesome.
It's such a cool park. The timing is important. And maybe another reason to add that extra morning mm-hmm. on day four before you drive to Bryce Canyon is because Zion National Park also gets so, so hot.
Yes, it does.
So if you're planning a trip from like May through September to Zion, then you're going to want to kind of leave your afternoons free.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing the Narrows or something, unless you're in the water. And those morning hours and those evening hours just become very important sightseeing times.
Yeah.
To manage the heat.
Spend the hot time in your car driving.
Siesta.
Ooh,
if you want to.
I like that.
Zion in the morning on day four. And then in the afternoon, you can drive to Bryce Canyon. It takes about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go out the east entrance of Zion over to Mount Carmel and then head up north towards Bryce Canyon. This is where you'll find homemade pies, which if you've listened to any of our podcast episodes, we really love the homemade pies.
They're so good.
And then you'll head up. It's a gorgeous drive.
It's so pretty.
And yeah. So you'll head up towards Bryce Canyon. You'll drive through Red Canyon before you get to Bryce Canyon, which is very Bryce Canyon-esque,
mm-hmm.
but more dog-friendly and UTV-friendly and bike-friendly and
right.
all those things.
Very multi-use.
It is. And then you'll get to beautiful Bryce Canyon. So
I love Bryce Canyon. And you'll get there kind of a really amazing time because the golden hours and everything are my favorite time to see Bryce Canyon.
Yeah, those hoodoos just light up the sky. They're so pretty at golden hour. So yeah, you'll get there. If you leave in the afternoon, you'll get there maybe around 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that still gives you a lot of good hours to get out there and do something, to go see something. We like to hike at this time. Last time we were there, we hiked the Fairyland Trail, the Fairyland Loop.
Which was a big surprise. It was so cool.
Yeah, but we did that at golden hour and it was gorgeous. And we had like the whole thing to ourselves, which was so cool. But the lighting was just beautiful and it was quiet. And oh, I loved seeing Bryce Canyon that way.
The colors just pop. They come out so much better than they do in the middle of the day.
Yeah. So definitely don't waste that afternoon or evening. At least go to some of the viewpoints if you don't want to hike. But get out there, maybe do the scenic drive if you want. But make sure you get out and do something. And then that evening is also a great time to join a star party.
Yes.
Because Bryce Canyon has amazing night sky programs. They do ranger programs. They get telescopes out. They do that pretty much all throughout the summer. And so you'll want to use your evening for stuff like that. Just jump right into Bryce Canyon because it's such a beautiful time to be there at that park.
Which is why taking your siesta in the middle of the day is such a big deal.
And then that gets us to day five, Why, we're already at day five.
That's crazy. It goes so fast.
It goes so fast. So day five is your full day in Bryce Canyon. You could do the figure eight trail, which is the Queen's Garden, Navajo, and Peekaboo Loop.
Mm-hmm.
You add them all together and just do this really cool epic trail through the hoodoos.
You go from beating up your legs in Zion to beating up your legs in Bryce, and it's so cool.
Definitely. If you don't want to do the whole figure eight, which is longer and harder, you can just do the Queen's Garden Navajo loop, which keeps it about 3 miles.
The Queen's Garden is super cool because it actually, there's a whole hoodoo that looks just like Queen Victoria.
Yeah, I love that one.
In case you were wondering why it's called the Queen's Garden.
I love the shapes of the hoodoos. You can go to viewpoints like Sunrise or Sunset or Bryce Point or Inspiration Point, all of that you'll definitely want to do. You can hike to Mossy Cave, which is a really cool hike. You can go horseback riding. You can go biking. There's so much you can do. You can drive the scenic drive and go see the Grand Staircase from afar, which is really cool.
Yeah, I love that. The end of the scenic drive is so cool. Especially if you know what you're looking at, because it's so impressive to just be at the top of the Grand Staircase and look out at the expanse of the whole landscape around you.
Yeah. And then you have another evening, stay at Bryce Canyon one more night. So mm-hmm. We're doing two nights at Bryce Canyon, one full day, kind of a half day mm-hmm. the day before, depending on when you get there. So 1.5 days in Bryce Canyon is very, I think, substantial for this park. It's a pretty small park, so 1.5 days is really comfortable to see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll just stay right there at Bryce Canyon. You can stay in the park. You can stay in Bryce Canyon City. You can stay in Tropic. All of those work really well.
The shuttle works really well in Zion, but I love the way that like the gateway town of Bryce Canyon City works with Bryce Canyon National Park. They're just so close together. And so it's not like at other national parks, if you stay in the gateway town, a lot of times you have to deal with a fairly decent drive into the main stuff, but not here at Bryce Canyon. If you stay in that gateway town, you're literally 3 minutes away from all the cool stuff.
Yep. So that closes out day five, which
five you're awesome
halfway
days.
Halfway through, you've already been to Vegas, Valley of Fire, Zion National Park, and Bryce Canyon National Park. In 5 days.
Yeah.
Just a pretty good trip so far. For day six, jumping in on day six, what you're going to do is drive from Bryce Canyon to Capitol Reef,
mm-hmm.
which takes about 2.5 hours if you don't stop. But you're driving along Scenic Highway 12, which is one of the coolest roads in Utah.
Yeah.
There's so much you can do. The views are amazing. Like, we've done so much along this road, and we barely even scratched the surface.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Yeah. It's so hard to actually do everything along this road.
Yeah.
There's so much to do.
So you can spend as much time on Highway 12 as you want. If mm-hmm. you want to get to Capitol Reef faster, just drive to Capitol Reef. It's fine. You'll still enjoy your drive. You'll still see some really cool views. If you're not in a hurry to get to Capitol Reef, then you can spend, like we said, infinite amounts of time on this road, but a few really cool stops that we like that are close to or on Highway 12 between Bryce Canyon and Capitol Reef are Kodachrome Basin State Park. That one is really cool. The Angel's Window Trail there is really fun.
Yeah, it's
short,
neat.
But fun. Calf Creek Falls is really popular, but it's so amazing.
Yeah.
We usually do that one when we're in the Bryce Canyon area.
That one is so neat. That's where I had a really scary experience, save for a different time.
We talked about that in our Bryce Canyon episode.
Oh, that's right.
John was hiking Calf Creek Falls, and there was a huge rock fall in front of them on the trail.
Yes.
Which is terrifying. but that waterfall is huge. It's got like moss behind it, so it's colorful, and then it drops into this really picturesque pool.
It's awesome.
So,
but you can go in and swim. You should.
I got hypothermia from swimming in that water.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. I mean, like, I literally felt my heart stop when I went under the water.
It felt so scary.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
It like stopped beating. It was so cold. And then me and my friends, we all got sick. We all got really sick.
So I would like instant replay on that just to see if your heart actually stopped.
It felt like it stopped. Okay. I'm sure it didn't actually stop. It slowed really scarily. So, and then you have the town of Escalante, which is really cool. There's some cool stuff you can do there. The Hogsback portion of Highway 12 is between Escalante and Boulder, the next town over. And this is a part that freaks a lot of people out because you have just drops on both sides.
Right.
And then your road goes down the middle of this ridge.
It's so cool.
So, yeah. So that's a really cool area. Anasazi State Park in Boulder. There's all sorts of stuff, though. There's like slot canyons, you'll find everything.
And this is why, like, even 10 days feels like too little. You know, you could extend this out for like a month and still have a few things that you have to skip over.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things, little parks, little sections here and there that just, if you had the time, you could spend so much of it just by yourself in the Utah wilderness.
Absolutely. And so I mentioned it takes about 2.5 hours to drive Highway 12 from Bryce Canyon to Capitol Reef. Something that's really cool that you could do, though, this is what I would do. If you have a higher clearance, like 4x4 vehicle already, from the town of Boulder, you can actually cut over. It's called the Burr Trail. And it's one of the most epic drives you can do in Capitol Reef National Park. But it starts all the way out here on Highway 12. So if you give yourself time, I mean, if you're driving in on the afternoon or something, you could cut over from Boulder and go drive the Burr Trail into Capitol Reef.
I mean, when we've done that, it's so epic. You have some incredible views. You go through some incredibly rugged territory.
Well, so the Burr Trail is, I think, the best place to go to see the water pocket fold of Capitol Reef, which you'll learn about that when you get there. It's a big deal in Capitol Reef, but it's basically the whole ground just like folded on itself. And so there are parts of the Burr Trail where you're driving and you do have to have higher clearance to do this road. Mm-hmm. So don't like try to do it in your sedan.
Or your RV.
Yeah. But you're driving along this road and there were a bunch of times where it's like we'd be driving and all of us like at the same time, our heads would all like start going sideways. Like I'm trying to make sense of why the ground looks like this, but like it looks like I should be tilted.
Yeah. The whole landscape is tortured and turned upside down on itself.
It is. It's so cool. So that's one of my favorite things to do in Capitol Reef anyway.
Yeah.
But if you're driving from Bryce Canyon, you're going to drive right past the turnoff to start the Burr Trail. So if that's an option, if that's what kind of vehicle you're in, I would highly recommend just doing that to get up to Capitol Reef. It will take longer, but you'll see some of the best scenery in the park.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then you'll just end your evening after driving Highway 12. You'll just end your evening in Capitol Reef National Park.
Oh, this is awesome.
So you can stay in the town of Torrey, which is the gateway town right there, or you can camp in the park either way, but it's just you're ready for kicking off your Capitol Reef adventure on day 7.
Yes. And if you did drive there pretty quickly, the scenic drive that they have at Capitol Reef is actually really beautiful at sunset.
At the time of this recording, 2024, they are closing down the whole scenic drive this year.
Oh my gosh.
They're redoing it, which needs to be done because sometimes when you get back in there, like towards the end, it's not even a full lane. Like it's pretty tight.
Yeah.
And there's so many people driving back in there now. Never used to be a problem.
Yeah.
Because people also didn't know about Capitol Reef.
Yeah. But the road goes up and over and into some washes as well. And so I'm sure that's part of why they had to redo the road.
Yeah. But mostly they're widening it. It's just too narrow for everybody who's trying to get back there. So it's closed in 2024. But there's plenty of other stuff you can do. And you can access a lot of those areas that are typically accessed by the scenic road. You can access those from other trailheads. So that is your adventure to get to Capitol Reef. So starting day 7, you're going to have almost a full day in Capitol Reef.
I love Capitol Reef. It's so underrated.
But it makes me sad to like cut this one down. This one makes the most sense to cut down time-wise if you're trying to keep it to 10 days, because you can do a lot in a half day or a day. There's more that you can obviously do if you have more time. So if you do have more time, I would add another day to Capitol Reef.
Yes.
But as it stands, you get part of most of day 7 in Capitol Reef. So John mentioned the scenic drive. You can hike to Hickman Bridge, which is a natural stone arch. And the trail's not too difficult there. We do that one with our kids a lot.
It's cool. Like in the grand view of this road trip, this is where your arches really start.
Yeah.
At this point right here, because as Bryce Canyon and Zion, there are a few arches that you can see. But really, Hickman Bridge is the first real big sandstone arch that you're just going to be like, Utah!
And you can stand under it, which is really cool.
I feel like I haven't sung the Utah State song for a really long time. Utah!
People working together.
Utah!
You started really high for me.
Sorry, but you did a great job. I don't think
you
I've
don't even
that.
Know the words. I know all the words
I don't know
to
the
that
words
song.
To that. I was impressed. I was like, I'm going to have to just end after one word. That's going to be really sad. It's like how I know the Canadian national anthem is Oh Canada, and then
and
that's
it. Nope, I know the whole Utah song from second grade.
That's awesome.
Another bridge you can find in Capitol Reef is Cassidy Arch.
Yes, that one's
which
really
I guess
big.
It's technically an arch. I said bridge. It's an arch, and that one's really cool. You can stand on top of that one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's epic.
Yes.
Cassidy Arch is typically something that you would access from the scenic drive. Mm-hmm. This is one of the ones that will be affected, but you can get to it through the Grand Wash Trail or Kohab Canyon from the campground area. So
right.
You can still get back there, and it's totally worth it.
Named after who?
Butch Cassidy.
Heck yeah, it is.
They do say that he used to hide out in this area.
Yes.
That's the rumor mill.
I think it makes a lot of sense. If you look at this area, if you drive around and hike around it, there are so many places to hide.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Fruta, you got to go to Fruta. You got to get some pies, see the orchards. That's the historic district of Capitol Reef.
Yep.
I mean, it's a pretty small park because you're just driving to mostly like viewpoints and there are some trails.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got like the historic district. And if you've already done the Burr Trail the night before, I mean, that's an epic time in Capitol Reef. Like I said, if you have another day, drive to Cathedral Valley.
Yeah, that's what I was about to
say.
Yeah,
but you need a whole day for it.
Yeah, if you already have a high clearance vehicle, if you already have the time. Because Capitol Reef, it's so interesting. Like, Bryce Canyon and Capitol Reef are really long, narrow national parks.
Yeah.
And Capitol Reef, there's really only one road through it that's paved. And so if you don't do the Burr Trail, which is fine, most people don't, then you really are only seeing like the smallest section of Capitol Reef.
It feels like a drive-by park,
yeah.
Like a drive-through park if you just stay to the main road.
Yeah.
That's why I think a lot of people are underwhelmed by Capitol Reef. But like if you do the Burr Trail or if you go into Cathedral Valley, both of which require 4x4 high clearance vehicles,
mm-hmm.
You can rent Jeeps and Tory, which is what we usually do. But that just like opens up so much more of the park to just being like, holy crap, like
yeah.
This place is amazing.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy. It's literally like you have just one small intersection where you encounter the park and then you're through. There's so much more to explore. So anytime you can give this place, it will just be awesome.
Yeah. And if you don't leave the paved roads, if you just stick to the paved roads, there's some really cool stuff you can do.
Yeah, not to downplay what you can see, because
it's
awesome.
You can choose your own adventure in this park. I think that's why I love Capitol Reef so much.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the end of the day, you're going to want to make your way to the Moab area. Takes about 2.5 hours to drive from Capitol Reef out to Moab, which is the kicking off point for Arches and Canyonlands National Parks.
Yep.
You'll want to get there that night before so you can have a full day in Arches the next day. So if you feel like you've spent enough time in Capitol Reef and you're ready to go, there are a few cool places you can stop as you drive between Capitol Reef and Moab.
Heck yeah, there are.
I know one of these has a movie reference for sure.
The one of them, let's see if Ash, I'm trying to be cryptic, but we'll see. Look, I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm going to do it, okay?
Repeating the computer.
Yes, exactly. There's a red thingy moving towards the green thingy. I think we're the green thingy.
You guys, this is one of my favorite movies.
What is the movie, Ash?
It's called Galaxy Quest.
And what's the place?
And the place where they filmed it is Goblin Valley State Park, which is where you'll find this state park as you're driving from Capitol Reef over to Moab.
Yes, and there's a scene where Tim Allen battles and has a fight with a giant rock monster, and it's awesome.
And that was at Goblin Valley. And you can totally see it. Like, that's what's so cool. I love that area.
I love what Alan Rickman says to him. He's like on his little like communicator with Tim Allen. Alan Rickman's like, you're just going to have to figure out what it wants. What is its motivation? And the Tim Allen's like, it's a rock monster. It doesn't have a motivation. See, that's your problem, Jason. You were never serious about the craft.
I love Alan Rickman.
It's so funny.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, Goblin Valley is an option. Again, like you'll need more time probably than this 10-day road trip schedule can allow if you want to jump over to Goblin Valley, but you can do that. And then there's also a really cool slot canyon by Goblin Valley called Little Wild Horse that's epic. It's really cool.
It's so great. My parents went there recently and it had just rained and they were like wading through chest deep water.
Oh my gosh.
To get through this slot canyon.
As long as it wasn't raining it can be really dangerous.
Yes, it was sitting water.
Yeah.
It was not moving water.
Crazy. The other thing we like to stop at as we're driving between Capitol Reef and Moab is the John Wesley Powell Museum in Green River.
Oh my gosh.
Only because we love John Wesley Powell much.
I could go off on John Wesley Powell for so long. He is so cool.
But you're in John Wesley Powell country,
Lake Powell, if you've never made that connection.
Yeah. So they have a museum in Green River that we like to stop at just for fun because we love the history of that. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. So couple stops as you're making your way to Moab. Yeah, you'll want to stay in Moab the evening of day 7 so that, again, you can, on day 8, just jump straight into Arches National Park.
Yes.
Day 8, Arches, you have one day.
Yes.
One day in Arches is pretty sufficient. You can get to a lot in one day. Obviously, you can do more, but one day you can see a lot.
It's so much fun. And like we talked about a minute ago, you start your Arches journey in Capitol Reef, really, and then you get here and it's just like, boom, it just smacks you in the face.
All the arches you've ever wanted to see. So you want to go to Delicate Arch. You want to hike at least partially into the Devil's Garden, at least make it to Landscape Arch, the Windows, Double Arch, Balance Rock.
Yeah.
All the things. The Fiery Furnace, if you have time.
Which I will say, and I've mentioned this recently, those are the scenes that you'll see in Hulk. You'll see scenes from City Slickers number 2. And this one, he chose poorly. If you can remember that one.
Is there another?
Those people are trying to kill us. I know, Dad. This is a new experience for me. It happens to me all the time. I didn't know you could fly a plane. Fly, yes. Land, no. Indiana Jones. And The Last Crusade.
Duh! You've told me that so many times.
I know, I was surprised you didn't, like, I mentioned it a bunch of times. But those are some good Indiana Jones quotes.
You said he swings from Double Arch, right?
Swings from Double Arch?
I don't know. Was he not?
That would be pretty epic.
I know, that sounds like an Indian. The longest
whip ever.
So awesome. What does he do? Does he just walk underneath it?
At the beginning of the movie, there's a scene where he discovers grave robbers stealing stuff from underneath the arch. They're digging up graves from Spanish treasure and stuff like that.
Man, in my mind this whole time, he was swinging from that arch.
Tarzan of Arches National Park.
That's funny. That's Arches. We do have an itinerary for Arches on Dirt in My Shoes. So if you need help planning out your time, especially if you only have one day,
yes,
I can help you get to everything that you'll want to see in one day. So what's cool is you can really make Moab, the city of Moab right there, your base camp for both Arches and Canyonlands. You're just right there. So stay in Moab for a few nights, go to Arches on day 8, and then we're jumping into Canyonlands for day 9.
Which is my favorite Utah National Park, which is nobody else's favorite national park in Utah, but it's mine.
We have non-traditional favorite parks in Utah.
Yes.
Yours is Canyonlands, mine is Capitol Reef. But for day 9, and this really, you know, wraps up those Utah parks, you've already seen 4, but now you're jumping into Canyonlands. It makes the most sense to go to Island in the Sky, that district of Canyonlands, because that is the closest to both Arches National Park and Moab, where you're already staying. So you can just pop up in there and go see Canyonlands basically from above.
Right. Yeah.
You're looking down into the canyons from this section of the park.
Now, this section of the park is really interesting because a lot of movies have actually used this area to look like the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
And so many Westerns, tons of movies, it takes place in the Grand Canyon in quotation marks, but it's actually either Canyonlands or Dead Horse Point State Park,
which are right next to each other.
And so it's really hard to say.
Yeah, it is. I know.
Dead Horse Point State Park. But 2 movies were filmed kind of right there in that area, right in between Dead Horse Point State Park and Canyonlands. Mission Impossible 2 and Thelma and Louise.
You can drive to the place where Thelma and Louise drive their car off the cliff.
Yes.
We've been there.
It's so good.
So what's Mission Impossible 2?
There's this scene where he's basically free soloing up these Red Rock cliffs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His boss tells him, next time you go on vacation, make sure you take your phone or let us know where you're at. And he's like, then it wouldn't be a vacation.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's so, Canyonlands is so lonely that way.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I know what you're talking about. The kids made me watch that part.
It's really cool, but your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to go to Island in the Sky.
So you'll want to go to Mesa Arch. That's like the famous arch that you'll see on your computer background for Windows. So a lot of people recognize that one. Grand Viewpoint, you'll want to drive out there to just really get a massive view of the canyons. Green River Overlook is another nice one because you can actually see the river down below. Murphy Point, I think, is probably our favorite trail in the Island in the Sky District. That one, or I really like Aztec Butte.
I was going to say that'd be a good second place.
Yeah.
Both of them give you a really cool view from the top, but Murphy Point is awesome because you get to sit on the edge of a cliff without fences and walls to keep you safe.
And then the other thing that's really popular in the Island in the Sky District is the White Rim Road. So this, you really do need kind of its own day to explore the White Rim Road fully, not even fully, partially.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because it's just a massive off-roading route that you can take down one layer down from where you're standing when you're in Island in the Sky at the top. And it's so cool. But if you want to take a shortened version, you can just drive down the Schaefer Trail, which looks terrifying, by the way. It's not as bad as it looks. We've done it a few times.
You do have to have good tires,
you
though.
You do. Yeah. But then if you go down the Schaefer Trail, then you can connect to some other dirt roads down in there. And that's where you can get to like the Thelma and Louise.
On the Potash Road.
Yeah, on the Potash Road. So that's really cool. You'll really get just a taste of Canyonlands with one day in Island in the Sky.
Because you have to choose one section.
You have to choose. If you have an extra day in this area, I would go down to the Needles District of Canyonlands, which is about, it's closer to Monticello. It's like an hour and a half from Moab. But that's where I think pretty much all of our favorite hiking trails are in Canyonlands. It's really epic, but you need more time. You can't do both sections in one day without just like feeling like you're in your car the whole time.
Exactly. So much driving.
Yeah. So your day 9, if you only have one day in Canyonlands and you're already at Arches and you're already in that area, just go to Island in the Sky. It's really cool. You can see some really cool things up there. But, you know, to see any more of Canyonlands, because it's the biggest national park in Utah. It's massive.
Yes, it's the biggest. It's the one that, and there's so many different sections that you have to go around the park to access.
Yeah.
So you have to drive all the way around to get to the west side, the maze, or you have to go all the way down by Monticello and then cut like an hour in to get to the Needles. The same thing going from Moab into the Island in the Sky. It takes time to access this place because the terrain is so rugged.
It does. But if you just spend the day at Island in the Sky, and then you could do sunset at Dead Horse Point, really pretty.
Because the river goosenecks right there.
Yeah, and they're so close together, those two places. So that makes a lot of sense. And then, unfortunately, you've hit day 10.
Yeah.
That's day 10. But the problem is you're 7 hours from Vegas. So day 10, yes. You are just driving.
Yes, exactly.
You're driving to Vegas. If you flew into Salt Lake, it's not as far of a drive to get right back to the airport. It's closer to like 4 hours. So there's maybe a point for Salt Lake. Your drive at the end of the trip isn't as long.
But if you do go back to Vegas and you don't backtrack and you go south from Moab and then kind of cut across,
it takes 9 hours.
Yes.
But you'll go through Monument Valley.
And Monument Valley is totally epic and is very recognizable in cinema.
It is.
All throughout cinematic history, you've got Monument Valley from John Wayne all the way to current times. It's awesome.
Do you have any movie references for us?
I sure do.
Or any quotes?
See if you can catch one. The best thing about visiting the president is the food. Now, since it was all free, and I wasn't hungry, but thirsty, I must have drank me 15 Dr. Peppers. I chose that one because that would really resonate with you.
15 Dr. Peppers.
All the Dr. Peppers. That's Ash's favorite. Anyway, like I was saying, shrimp is the fruit of the sea. You can barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it. There's shrimp kebabs, shrimp creole, shrimp gumbo, pan fried, deep fried, stir fried. There's pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, pepper shrimp, shrimp soup, shrimp shrimp stew, shrimp salad, shrimp and potatoes, shrimp burger, shrimp sandwich. That's about it.
I mean, I know a movie that has been filmed there.
Which one are you thinking?
Forrest Gump.
Yep, it's Forrest Gump.
Yeah. So that's where like the iconic, like everybody and it gets actually really annoying when you're driving through this area because there's all these people on the side of the road trying to get to the middle of the road to take video or pictures.
Yep, exactly.
At the part where Forrest Gump runs up the hill.
Yep, at the point where he's been running 3 years, 2 months, 14 days and 16 hours. This is the spot where he stops running. And so it's that epic scene where you see like the road just goes like down and it seems like the road goes on forever. And then it culminates in like this beautiful skyline of red rock, like giant monoliths and things like that. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're going to go to Monument Valley on your way back to Vegas, couple hours, even just 1 hour, if all you want to do is see the mittens,
mm-hmm,
which are the most iconic structures in Monument Valley, you can just kind of pop in there and see them and go. But if you want to drive around or if you want to do anything else, then you'll need to give yourself half a day at least. That's a good option. If you can extend your vacation any and you want to see more of the Southwest, you can go to Monument Valley. And then you can continue on to Page, Arizona, which,
yes,
is along the route anyway, back to Vegas if you go down this direction. And that's where you'll find Antelope Canyon and Horseshoe Bend and,
yep,
Lake Powell. So many cool things in Page.
Another great spot for movies.
Yes.
So both the 1968 and the 2001 versions of this film were there. I don't have a good quote for it, but Planet of the Apes in the Lake Powell area.
Okay.
But one of my favorite like Western comedies was filmed sort of in this area. From the moment I slapped eyes on this hombre, I smelled trouble and refried beans.
I don't know.
So good. My old pappy used to say, there is no more deeply satisfying religious experience than cheating on a cheater. I never said that once. You've been misquoting me all your life. What? We're going to quibble over fine points? No, you never even get close. Give me some credit. It's Mel Gibson, Maverick.
Okay.
Jodie Foster and Mel Gibson in this fun. It's Maverick. It's so good.
At Lake Powell?
Yes.
Interesting. That's a really fun area too. which you could easily spend a couple days in Page. The other thing that you'll, well, and I'm just like bursting because it's just like, oh my gosh, 10 days is not enough. But if you have extra time and you decide to drive back this direction, you'll go right past the turnoff to the Grand Canyon North Rim.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also, if you want to see the Grand Canyon while you're in this area, but you don't want to drive down further into Arizona, you're just kind of skirting the top of Arizona, the Utah-Arizona border, you can pop down to the North Rim, which is the quieter side of the Grand Canyon, but we love it.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. So much greener than the south side.
Yeah. So you can get down there from here, from this road. You'll go through Kanab, Utah, which is another movie hotspot, like a huge movie hotspot.
Huge movie hotspot. So, I'm going to limit to one.
Okay.
One quick quote. This is one of my favorites from this movie. "Now remember, when things look bad and it looks like you're not going to make it, then you got to get mean. I mean, plum, mad dog mean. Because if you lose your head and you give up, then you neither live nor win. That's just the way it is." 3, 2, 1. That's Outlaw Josie Wales. Super awesome Clint Eastwood movie. I love that movie.
And it's that was good. In Kanab.
At least one of the cabins was in Kanab. But
what do they call it? Little Hollywood? I think is what they call it. Or anyway, they have filmed so many Westerns in Kanab. Like they have movie sets you can tour. They've got plaques all around town of like people who have filmed movies in Kanab.
Yep. There's even
Wayne plaque. We found that one last time we were there.
Yep. The one you're referring to, the Little Hollywood or something like that, they actually have taken movie sets from where they were filmed and put them kind of all really close together. So you can see a bunch of things all in one spot.
Yeah.
It's really
like
cool.
A little film museum. Anyway, that kind of rounds out. So you start in Vegas, you hit Zion, Bryce Canyon, Highway 12, Capitol Reef, Moab for Arches and Canyonlands. And then you can head back to Vegas from there. And that's your 10-day.
Nice.
And then if you have extra days, you can either add another day. I would add another day to Capitol Reef if you can. I would add another day to Canyonlands if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would add a day to see Monument Valley and Page and Kanab as you're making your way back to Vegas.
Yeah, because that last day, honestly, is such a long drive. And so if you can split it up a little bit, a couple of days, and see some fun things along the way, that would be a nice way to round out the trip so it's not all in the car.
Yes, so there's our epic 10-day Utah National Parks road trip itinerary.
Yes.
You can get itineraries for 3 of the 5 parks on Dirt in My Shoes right now. I am working on the other 2. They are coming, but they're the less busy parks. Those have not been a priority lately. But for the ones that like where the crowding really does get a little bit out of control and there's just more complexity to it, you can find itineraries for Zion, Bryce Canyon, and Arches on Dirt in My Shoes. We have can't miss lists for all 5 national parks. If you want an even longer road trip itinerary, check out the Grand Circle because that includes the Utah parks, but then also goes into Colorado and Arizona.
Yes.
So we have an episode about that. But now here's your task for today's podcast episode.
Head over to the Dirt in My Shoes Facebook or Instagram pages and let us know of all the movies that we kind of went through today that were filmed here, kind of in this Mighty 5 section of the country. Which one is your favorite?
Yeah, and do you recognize any of the spots that we've talked about while you've been watching these movies? We would love to hear about your experience in Southern Utah. We can't wait for you to visit. We would appreciate a 5-star review on our podcast so that we can spread the word. And go to Dirt in My Shoes for any additional help on planning your epic 10-day road trip itinerary through the Utah National Parks.